Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Male Infertility Podcast. I'm Nick, the host, and on this episode, I'm going to give you an update of mine and the wife's journey. And the main part of the episode, I want to talk about coming to terms with the fact that somebody else's sperm is going to be used to help create your child. And the thoughts that may run through your head as being a man and how it can affect you and what effect it could have on your feelings for the baby or feelings for your wife or just general thoughts about it, knowing that maybe what you wonder where about the other person, who the donor is and so on. But that's what I'm going to get into anyway. But before that, let's have an update, shall we? Okay. So on Tuesday, me and the wife, we went for our first counselling session. And the counsellor that we met was called Mo, and she was great. I really liked her. She was really down to earth. No BS. Literally just like, she says it how it is. I like the fact, it was refreshing really, because I was expecting someone who was going to be a little bit uptight, really like she wasn't, maybe they weren't sure how to speak to people, that sort of thing. But all those fears were basically quashed very quickly, which for me was very, very good. It wasn't a counselling session as you may think, like you've seen in the movies or TV, where you're lying down on a couch and you're expressing your feelings and all that sort of thing. It was just a counselling session of like, this is what's going to be happening. Are you prepared for it? Talking about how when you have to sign all this paperwork, basically saying that you will be the father of the child. The donor is literally, they're just a donor. That's it. Okay, in 18 years, they could have if they wanted to, they could find them or whatever. But at the end of the day, that guy is just a donor. He's doing us a favor. Not just us, but he's doing everybody who has to go down this route. He's doing them a favor as well. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, if it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't be able to do it. And the same goes for so many other people as well. So I tip my hat to all the donors out there because of them, we're on the journey. And thank you very much, whoever you are. But anyway, so we did that, and she went through all the paperwork, and yeah, it was pretty straightforward, to be fair. So that was quite helpful, basically saying how a lot of the times, obviously, when you have a baby, everything's going to change. Like me and the wife have been together for 7 years, married for 2 and a quarter, and we're good. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong in the relationship, but it's really, really good. We're both happy. We work hard. That'll be a big change, I think. But she was just saying how you need to talk in your relationship because the baby comes, it's such a massive focus that certain things that you do now and you may take for granted may stop. I can understand that completely because obviously, there's a baby there, it's crying all the time, or it needs feeding, or it needs its nappy changing, can't do anything for itself, so you've got to do everything for it. So all the times where you may be watching TV now, or you may be, I don't know, playing your Xbox or PC or whatever, or you may be doing work after work, or you may be, for me, I might be doing some voice acting or whatever, you're going to have to give that time up and make time for the baby. And she said that you also have to make time for yourselves as well to be able to communicate, to talk to each other about how you're feeling. I mean, it's pretty much what I said last time in the last one about the mental state for a man. It's also this, it's all about communicating. If you keep it bottled up, then how are you going to know? I mean, I don't want to get down the road in 5 years' time where we're happy that we've had a baby and stuff, but the relationship's on the rocks. That's the last thing I want. So being open with your partner is just as important as any other part of this journey. So I just wanted to make sure that I then pass that message on to you guys as well. And I'm sure you guys have had this conversation with your counselor as well. And well, you know, I'm just trying to help. So towards the end of it, we just talked about a few bits. And then, so when we go next time, which is going to be next week, we're just going to go and sign all the paperwork and just have a kind of like just really get to grips with it and stuff. And then the following week for me and the wife, we've got our consultation. So the ball is seriously rolling now. I mean, we've waited for a year and a half since the first time I went and got myself checked out. So, and obviously everything takes ages, as you all know. But now the ball is really rolling and things are really going to pick up speed. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But now I want to get into the crux of it, really. I want to, obviously, one of the main points is she was talking about the donor. And she was saying how, obviously, for me, there's no chance that I'll ever be able to create sperm or anything like that. It's a genetic thing. I got dealt a really bad hand. But it's obviously how you deal with it. And like I said, the donor that we will eventually use, whoever he may be, she was like, oh, you can, if you want, you can find out XYZ about them. And I was thinking about it. And for me personally, I don't mind finding out certain bits. So for me personally, I am half English, kind of got two halves from different sides of the family, which are English. And then one side, my dad's grandma was from Latvia and my mum's dad was from Yugoslavia, which, wow, from Croatia, but he was a Serb living in Croatia. And both of them came over after World War II. So for me, I have a fair bit of Eastern European blood in me. And on the other side, I have my English side. Both of them, or should I say, all three nationalities are very important to me. They make me who I am today, what I look like. I mean, I'm 6 foot, quite broad, athletic. And for me, and also one thing that always gets mentioned is I have massive hands. So people have always joked, oh God, imagine when you have a baby, the baby's gonna come out with gigantic hands and all this stuff. And obviously before all this, I'd be like, oh yeah, baby's gonna have gigantic bear paws and so on. And then when I found out that I couldn't have children and people were still making this, the comments, part of me was like, yeah, like kind of laughing it off. But deep down, it's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm thinking they may not, you know what I mean? They're not going to have any of my, characteristics. You know what I mean? Like physical characteristics. Yes, they will have, they'll try and find someone who is as similar to me as they can. So fair hair and everything else I've just described. But there's not going to be literally anything, any part of me, no blue eyes, no blonde hair, no big hands or so on. But now, the more I think about it, that does matter. But on the flip side, it doesn't matter as well, because it's the raising of the child for me that is just as important, if not more important, because during their journey of growing up and so on, that's where they really get their characteristics from. Like the way they're brought up, their mannerisms and the way they think and everything else on that line, that's what really matters. I mean, I don't mind if they have the wife's got dark hair, she's quite petite and so on. Like if we have a little girl, I imagine she'll look just like her. Or if she's a boy, she may be dark haired as well. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. It's going to be half the wife and half the donor. But it's still my child. It doesn't matter. You have to sign the paperwork to say, yes, it will be my child or so on. Whether or not I did sign a bit of paper, it's bringing them up that really matters. Wiping their ass at bloody 2 a.m. or feeding them after a 14-hour shift. All those things, buying them shoes, taking them to birthday parties, doing the homework with them, that sort of thing. That is the main bit with regards to the donor and who he is. Like I don't mind finding out certain parts of who this person is. Like I'd like him to be as similar to me, so athletic and all that jazz. For me personally, I never want to see what this person looks like. I mean, I don't need to know. I don't want to have an image of somebody or anything like that. I want to know certain parts, but I don't want to know all of it. You know what I mean? But I would like to know if anyone's listening, like their perspective on things as well. If you do have time to just send me a message and so on, then let me know, because you're obviously hearing my perspective and my thoughts on these things, but I'd like to know yours as well, because then knowing what you think will help me grow as a man and also as a future father as well. So yeah, don't be shy to drop me a message and let me know what you think, whether you're a man or a woman, because both sides, they're just as important. Yeah, this may be the male infertility podcast, but I'm only doing it to mainly help men. But at the same time, if there are any women listening, purely to get a man's perspective of things, to maybe help them understand their husband or their partner more, then I'm more than happy to listen, because it all helps. And we're all in this together. We really are. Like, it's not easy. It's a difficult situation. And it is cheesy when you're like, oh yeah, send me a message and all this stuff. But I'm being legit. I want to know. As much as you guys clearly want to know, if you're listening to the podcast, then you would have found me out because you want to hear my perspective. So I'm going to leave it there for this time, I think. Let me know. You know what to do. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. All of them are Nick Denton VA. And I think I've just hit over 100 listens on the 3 previous episodes. So thank you so much for all those. It may not seem a lot to you guys, but for me, it's big. And hopefully it keeps on growing. Like I say, I'm making a video version of this as well to go on my YouTube channel. So if that's any easier for you guys, if you spend more time on YouTube than you do on any of the podcast sites, then check it out on there. But I just want to say thanks to everyone and good luck to everyone. Keep your fingers crossed, and I'll be talking to you soon. Probably once we've had our consultation. So probably about 2 weeks till the next episode. But keep your fingers crossed, keep your chins high, and this is the MIP signing off.